Stand still, be still. Whenever we are standing as well, we need to stand still. And there are certain things the word of God says that Ishwar ke aascharya karmoka, which are, let's read this in Telugu language as well. Yobu e mata alakimpumu, urakundi devuni adbhuta kriyalanu alochimpumu. Urakundi devuni adbhuta kriyalanu alochimpumu. If you want to fill in the line, the blanks that are mentioned here, Job chapter 37 and verse 14, you can note it down. Listen to this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Sometimes when we write it, it gives us a better concentration on the word of God. That is why we keep asking you to not only look, not only hear, but also write it down. The book of Job is a wonderful book, and it is, if you look at the scriptures, the way in which they're arranged, the books of the Bible, this is the first poetic book. Narratives all together from Genesis all the way, till Esther. They're all a narrative, what happened historically, etc. And from Job all the way to Ecclesiastes, and then Song of Solomon, it talks about the poetic books that are being mentioned, and Job falls under the poetic books. Probably you must have read the book of Job. And today, from the book of Job, we have picked up this verse, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Many times we miss upon it, and God's word is reminding us to be able to be still. Chup ho jao, chup chap raha, urakundidi, urakundidi. And today, we're going to look at this particular book of Job. Book of Job, just to give an outline of this book, the first two chapters talk about the situation of Job and the conversation between God and Satan. The word Satan is used here. The Hebrew word for Satan is Satan. The Hebrew word for Satan is Satan. When you see in verse 6 and 7, Satan, it says. The word Satan means adversary or enemy. And there was a conversation that happened between God and Satan or Satan. And God is talking about a man called Job, the kind of life he was living. If you read verse 1, a man who was blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. And not only in verse 1, but God is certifying about Job. And he talks about what kind of a man Job was. In verse 8, Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And Satan says, you have put a hedge around him and his house, and that is why he is able to be the way he is. And then and he says, let me try to touch all that he has. And you know what has happened in this particular story. Job had all his situations, all his property, including his children who died. His property got lost. And the first thing that he did in verse 20, Job arose and tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell on the ground and worshipped. He worshipped. When everything was gone in his life, he fell down to the ground and worshipped. In the worship message, we were hearing about the Greek word proskuneo, to kiss the ground, to fall down prostrate. And here it says, he fell down and worshipped. You know what he said in verse 21? Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Many truths that we can learn about the life of Job. Throughout all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Was that done? Is that the whole sufferings that Job went through? No. Chapter 2, once again, there was a conversation between God and Satan. Once again in verse 3, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. Again, Satan said, second time I'm going to do it. I'm going to touch him, not touch his property and possessions and his children. This time I'm going to touch him, he said. And finally, he got boils and terrible disease. Verse 7, Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. He went through physical suffering as well. Emotional suffering of the loss of his property, loss of, in today's world, you can say loss of job, loss of situations in his life, loss of his own children. And now it had hit him on his body as well. He went through terrible situations in his life. My dear, maybe you're here with so many concerns, botherings in your life that are really considering the fact that, oh, I have lost this, I have lost that. I'm going through so much of situation in my life. Maybe you are in that situation. Let me remind you, let me encourage you from the book of Job, from the life of Job, that even a man who was a man of integrity went through sufferings in his life. In spite of all this, in verse 9, again his wife says, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. And he says, you speak as one of the foolish women. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Verse 10. He was trying to say, shouldn't we accept not only good from God, but also adversity? Accepting the will of God. We have been learning these important lessons. And you and I should be able to learn this lesson today as well. God's word is reminding us to be able to accept anything from God. Because God is in control. He's a sovereign God. Now in verse 11, there are three friends of Job who come and meet him. The three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. These three people, they make an appointment and come to him. And when they see his situation, they couldn't even open their mouth. They sat with him, verse 13, for 7 days and 7 nights, no word. In verse 3, Job laments about his situation. And in chapter 3, Job laments about his situation. Chapter 4, one of the friends tries to talk and says, the innocent do not suffer. They were trying to tell that the innocent people do not suffer. And if you read this chapter 4, Eliphaz is saying that. And then he says in chapter 5, God is just. Eliphaz first speaks. And now Job answers in chapter 6 and chapter 7. I'm just trying to quickly fast forward here. Chapter 4, Eliphaz speaks. Chapter 4 and 5. And chapter 6 and 7, Job responds to that. Chapter 8, Bildad speaks. And chapter 9 and chapter 10, Job responds. Chapter 11, Zophar speaks. And chapter 12 and 13, Job responds. And 14 also, Job responds. Three friends, one at a time, they speak, Job responds. One speaks, one responds. Again in chapter 15, Eliphaz, once again, chapter 15, he speaks saying, oh, this is there is something wrong with you and things like that. In verse chapter 16 and 17, Job responds saying, you are not good comforters for me. In chapter 18, Bildad speaks. And chapter 19, Job responds. Chapter 20, Zophar speaks. And chapter 21, Job responds. Like that, each one of them, three times, the three friends, they have three times of conversations with Job. Three of them speak. For each one of them, Job responds. Three of them speak. For three of them, Job responds. Again, three times the three of them speak. And it goes all the way till Job 31. If you want to take some time to read it, please read it. It's a wonderful book. It's a great poetic book and also wonderful truths that we can learn. So let's jump to chapter 32. Job chapter 32. Verse 1. Then these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Now a fourth person comes into picture. Verse 2. But the anger of Elihu, the son of Barakel, Buzite of the family of Ram, burned against Job. His anger burned because he justified himself before God. Elihu, a young man, he was sitting. He was looking at these three friends and Job talking to each other, having conversation with each other. Chapter 3 onwards, all the way till chapter 31, there was so much of conversations, but this young man was sitting and listening. He was listening to these conversations, one blaming the other, saying, oh, only innocent people cannot suffer, only wicked people suffer, and kind of theories that each one is talking about, that suddenly Elihu, what does Elihu mean? Elihu means he is God. El means Elohim. Elihu means he is. He is God. Elihu. The word Elihu means he is God. Somehow this person comes into picture from nowhere. All the 31 chapters, there was no mention of him. And suddenly in chapter 32, he comes up. Maybe he was listening to the conversation that was going on. And his anger was on Job because he justified himself before God. Lot of conversation, lots of argument. Lot of people tend to have arguments. When people go through suffering, they start talking, oh, why should this happen and all that. Unable to comfort each other. Unable to really look into God and what God is talking about. So here in verse 2, he was having his anger on Job. And also in verse 3, his anger burst against his three friends because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Such is the kind of friends sometimes we have. They keep talking so much, but there is no comfort. Instead, there's arguments that were going on. And now, in verse 4, now Elihu had waited to speak to Job because there were years older than he. He was a young man. It is not about the age here. Sometimes old people, we say that they are people of wisdom. But there could be situations where they tend to side or try to use their own human wisdom in order to be able to talk and hear. That was a kind of situation. So Elihu kept quiet. And the moment in chapter 32, he opens his mouth. He opens his mouth and he speaks the way in which God enables him to speak. And in verse 8, it says, but it is a spirit in man and the breath of Almighty gives them understanding. And he says, listen to me. Listen to me. God is putting forth his words in me. Verse 18 of chapter 32. For I am full of words. The spirit within me constrains me. So now Elihu opens up his mouth. I don't know if you have ever studied the book of Job, but it's a wonderful book to be able to meditate, especially when it comes to the kind of sufferings that every one of us go through. No person is devoid of sufferings, whatever kind of sufferings. Maybe it's physical sufferings, emotional sufferings, loss of loved ones. Name them. They are all in the life of Job. Whether it's your job or it's your family or your property or whatever be it, come back to Job. He went through similar kind of things. So in this conversation, Elihu speaks many things. I'm not going to go over everything. But from 32 to 37, these many chapters, 6 chapters, he speaks. Elihu continuously speaks. Nobody else stops in between. Continuously from 32 to 37. Elihu speaks. And in chapter 33, verse 4, he says, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Yesterday's calendar verse is this. Job chapter 33 and verse 4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of Almighty gives me life. He now focuses on God and tries to say, verse 6, behold, I belong to God like you. I too have been formed out of clay. And many wonderful truths that he talks about that we now jump to Job chapter 37. Job chapter 37. And then that is the verse that we have taken from Job chapter 37 and verse 14. Listen to this, O Job. Though he was a young man, when it comes to the words of God, the oracles of God, age has no barrier. God speaks through young people. God speaks through old people as well, no doubt. But it is God who should speak. So he listened to this, O Job. Stand and consider the wondrous works of God. Very important element that we can learn. And in just to give the complete outline of book of Job, Job chapter 38 is when there is a conversation between God and Job. All this 37, from 3rd chapter to 37th chapter, it is conversations between people. Now God intervenes. The moment Elihu completes in chapter 37, God speaks to Job. And God speaks continuously all the way, if you see, till chapter 41. Till chapter 41, we notice that God is speaking. And in chapter 42, the last chapter of Job, Job speaks to God. That's the first time we notice Job speaking to God. Job chapter 1, he went through sufferings. Job chapter 2, he went through sufferings. Job chapter 3, Job was lamenting. And his friends keep on having conversations, arguments and discussions back and forth 9 times. The conversations happen 3 times each. And then Elihu speaks for 6 chapters, 32 to 37. God speaks from 38 to 41. And then finally, Job speaks. If you want, maybe this might be a motivation for you to go back to your home and read the book of Job. Wonderful book. As I was reading through, I was really thanking God such a kind of book exists in the scriptures as well, to know so many truths, and you and I can learn from them. Job chapter 37 and verse 14. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. To whom is this being told to? To Job, a man of suffering. A person who was going through sufferings in his life. Maybe you are sitting here with something bothering you. Maybe something bothering you in your heart. Maybe something bothering you in your spirit. Maybe something is bothering you. I'm not going to ask you for what is it that is bothering you. But the Lord knows and you know what is going on. Job was going through it. And the word of God comes directly here. It says, listen to this. Hearken unto me. Listen to this. Listen to this, Job. Listen to this. Many times we don't listen. We keep complaining. We keep complaining so much, oh, this is what has happened, and all that, conversing with people, that we forget what God wants to speak to us. We need to be still. We need to be still in our sufferings. When we go through sufferings in our lives, never forget to be still. Stand still. Ura kundadi. Chupchap raho. Ura kundadi. I'm asking you right now, just stand still. Many times, we tend to open our mouth emotionally, speaking words that we're not supposed to speak, whether to people or to God, especially when we go through pressure. When we are under pressure is when our character is revealed. When we are under pressure, our attitudes come out. When everything is going well, there's nothing that where people keep smiling. The moment you're driving and suddenly somebody cuts you through, that is when your reaction will see. At home, between husband and wife, when you go through everything normal, it's fine. But you're under pressure. How do you react to your wife? How do you react to your husband? What kind of words do you use? How do you react to your children? The way you speak and everything. All we need to do is be still. My dad used to tell a particular story about a man. It seems in the place where my dad was growing up in Machilipatnam in India. It seems there was a man. Whenever there was a problem in the house, when there was some kind of an argument, he just used to take his bicycle. In those days, people never had motorbikes. Bicycle. He used to take the bike and go out. And then after some time, he used to come back. Things are settled at home. Then he continues. Many times, we need to settle ourselves. We need to stand still. We need to be able to consider that we cannot keep on having this back and forth, conversations back and forth, like how the three friends of Job were having conversations with him. We need to stand still. We need to stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. The first thing that we can learn in this particular consider is that we need to consider the Creator. When you think about the wondrous works of God, remember the Creator who has done wondrous works. He has created you and I. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created. Consider the Creator, the one who has done wondrous works. First of all, the Creator. He is a wonderful God. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What? What is all this? Wonderful. He shall be called wonderful because He does wonders. God does wonders. He's a God of wonders beyond the galaxy, the songwriter says. Yes, He is a God who does wonders. Wonderful is His name. He has created everything. Wonderful creation that He has done. Psalm chapter 139. Psalm chapter 139. Wonderful chapter 139 and verse 14. Please read Psalm 139 and verse 14. I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. Wondrous works. Consider the wondrous works of God. Before you think about the problems that you are suffering through, don't look at the problems, but look at God. When you look at God, who is so big, the problem seems to be small. But if your focus is on the problem will be big. It might become bigger and bigger because our eyes are focused on the problem. But if our eyes are focused on the wondrous things of God, God's, you are a great creator. Consider the creator God and the wondrous things that he has done. Don't waver here and there. Don't look at the problem. But let your eyes be focused on God, the creator. And that is what. Remember your creator in the days of your youth. The Bible says, remember. Remember, it is very important for us to consider the creator God. Secondly, that we may be able to understand, is consider the creation. Consider the creation. Consider the creator God, who is a wonderful God. He is the one who has created wonders in our lives. Secondly, consider the creation of God. Consider the creation of God. Psalm chapter 8 and verse 3. Please read. Psalm chapter 8 and verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast, when I consider your heavens, when I consider the creation of God, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that he is mindful of him, and the son of man that you have created? We need to consider the wondrous creation of God. Not only the wondrous creator who has created everything that is around us, he has not only created you and I, but also he has created the things that are surrounding us as well. And you and I should be able to recognize that important element of the creation of God. He has created us. He has created the heavens and the earth and the moon and the stars. And when you look at the creation, you will really forget about the things that are happening in your life. If God is so big, when he has created so many things in our lives, what is it that is happening in my life? Jesus talks about the consideration of some creation. Let us look at Luke. Luke chapter 12. Wonderful ways in which God was talking about, Jesus Christ was talking about. I read, please listen to this carefully. Luke chapter 12, verse 22 onwards. Luke chapter 12, verse 22 onwards. Maybe you are going through worries in your life. Verse 22 onwards. And he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life. Many times we worry so much of the problems that are happening in our lives that we are forgetting about considering the wondrous works of God. As to what you will eat, nor for your body, as to what you will put on, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Verse 24. Consider the ravens. I'm not talking about the sports team, the Baltimore Ravens. Maybe you can learn certain things from that team as well. But here the ravens are talking about the birds here. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom for nor barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. Consider the ravens. Just stop and see. Consider the creation of God. Next time when you stop at the stop sign, more than looking at your smartphone to see any new messages that have come, just look outside the creation of God. At the stop sign, God lets us stop in between in our lives. The whole way that we are walking, passing by is without, not without stops. There are places when you need to stop. There is a red light. God puts red signal light in our lives so that we can stop and consider the creation of God. Consider the ravens. Don't worry, my dear. Why are you worrying about the things that are happening in your life? God, how much more valuable you are than the birds. And verse 25. And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Worry is Typical, humanly speaking, we tend to worry, but God's word is saying, why are you worrying? Verse 27, listen to this carefully. Consider the lilies, how they grow. Outside, now you see a lot of flowers blooming, right? Spring has passed, summer is in, flowers keep blooming. Take some time and look at the creation of God. Maybe you are going through worries in your life. I'm not saying that we are not going through problems in our lives, but the word of God says, consider. First, consider the creator who has created everything. Remember the creator in the days of your youth. Consider that there is a one who has created everything. And now consider the creation as well. When you look at the creation, when you look at the way in which they are, consider the lilies, verse 27. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these wonderful, beautiful, beautiful flowers. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. What a wonderful creator we have. When you look at the creation, you will remember the creator as well. And in verse 31, but seek his kingdom and these things will be added unto you. If you read Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, where it says a little more clearly, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. When was this verse given? This verse was given when Jesus was talking about worry. When Jesus was talking about considering the creation. When you consider the creation and the wondrous works of God, you will stop worrying. Lord, I want to thank you for you made me stop at this stop sign to look at the birds, to look at the flowers and be able to say, what a wondrous creation of God. If God could create so wonderful things, can't he create the colorful situations in my life as well? Yes, he can. And that is kind of God we have. Is anything too hard for him? No. Third and important thing that we should learn, not only consider the creator, consider the creation, and also consider the cross. Consider the cross. Hebrews chapter 12. One of our brothers was quoting this verse during worship time as well. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2 and 3. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Please read it in any other language. Verses 2 and 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Yes, consider the cross. Endure the cross. Remember the cross. Consider him who was hanging on the cross. Consider Christ on the cross, if we want to be more precise. Consider Christ on the cross. Not only the creation, not only the creator, but the Christ who was on the cross. He died for us. He suffered. The wondrous thing that he has done on the cross of Calvary, he has done for you and I, my dear. Don't you want to consider that wondrous cross? There's a song which says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. When I survey the wondrous cross, it seems history says that it's one of the favorite hymns of Mahatma Gandhi as well. Talking about the wondrous cross of Jesus Christ. Wonders. He has done wonders on the cross. Remember that. When Christ could do such a wondrous work on the cross, The work of Christ on the cross made a difference. It made a difference. And he has died for you and I on the cross of Calvary. He endured the cross. It says here, he endured the shame. He endured the shame by dying for us on the cross of Calvary. For whose sake? For your sins and my sins. He was ready to take the shame. If Christ could take that up, he has done that wondrous thing on the cross. When I consider that wondrous cross, when I survey that wondrous cross, I need to stand still and consider that. Just so I'll be able to recognize as to who that God is. There's a story talked about Horatio Spafford. He was a wealthy Chicago lawyer with a thriving legal practice, a beautiful home, a wife, four daughters, and a son. He was also a devout Christian and a faithful student of the scriptures. His circle of friends included Dwight L. Moody, D.L. Moody, and various others well-known Christians of the day. At the very height of his financial and professional success, like Job, Horatio and his wife Anna suffered the tragic loss of their young son. Shortly thereafter, on October 8, 1871, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed almost every real estate investment that Spafford had. Property, his own people. In 1873, Spafford scheduled a boat trip to Europe in order to give his wife and daughters a much-needed vacation and time to recover from the tragedy. He also went to join Moody on an evangelistic campaign in England. Spafford sent his wife and daughters ahead of him while he remained in Chicago to take care of some unexpected last-minute business. Several days later, he received notice that his family's ship had encountered a collision. All four of his daughters drowned. Only his wife had survived. Compared with the life of Job. With a heavy heart, Spafford boarded a boat that would take him to his grieving wife Anna in England. It was on this trip that he penned those now famous words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." He was able to pen that wonderful hymn. It is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, he was going in that ship to meet his wife, having lost their son before and their four daughters later. What a tragic situation that was in. But this song now has become a comforting song for anyone who sings that song anytime in their life, especially when they lose their loved ones or when they go through sufferings in their lives, losing jobs or economically, financially, going through troubles in their lives. Consider the cross, my dear. Christ Jesus has died for us on the cross of Calvary. He has died for us. He has done so much. He has given us the peace that passeth all understanding in our lives. So what can we learn from this particular? Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. First, we should be able to remember. We should be able to remember the wondrous works of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12. Please read 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 12. Remember his marvelous works. Remember his wonderful works. We need to remember, my dear. Many times we tend to forget. Our focus is more on the problems than the God who is bigger than the problems. Who is bigger, he has control over all the problems in our life. I want each one of us to remember the wondrous works that God has done. God has done many wondrous things in our lives. If God, who is our help in ages past, he's our hope for years to come. Remember that. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Remember the wondrous works of God. Remember the cross on which he has died for us. Secondly, you need to respond to the wondrous works of God. Not just keeping quiet. You need to remember the wondrous works of God. You need to respond to that wondrous works of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 24, please read. 16:24. Any other language, please? 24th verse. ఆయన ఆశ్చర్య కార్యములను ప్రచురించుడి, నాట్ ఓన్లీ జ్ఞాపకముంచుకోవడం, నాట్ ఓన్లీ రిమెంబరింగ్, బట్ ఆల్సో టు టెల్ ఇట్ అవుట్, టు రెస్పాండ్, టు స్పీక్ అవుట్. రిమెంబర్ ద వండరస్ వర్క్స్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్, నెవర్ ఫర్గెట్. ఫర్గెట్ నాట్ ఎనీ ఆఫ్ హిస్ బెనిఫిట్స్, ద బైబుల్ సేస్ ఇన్ సామ్ 103. రిమెంబర్ హిస్ బెనిఫిట్స్, రిమెంబర్ ద వండరస్ వర్క్స్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్, అండ్ రెస్పాండ్ టు ఇట్. Speak out, tell of his glory. Lord, you have done so many marvelous things. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 5, please read. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 5. Yes, please read in any other language. Verse 5. Yes, ఆశ్చర్య కార్యములు. We have to be able to proclaim the wondrous works of God by responding to what we are remembering. Remember, respond. And third and final thing that we can learn is to repent if God is reminding us of certain things that we are doing. Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. Having gone through all this in his life, Job from chapter 1 onwards all the way, and later in 38 to 41, God was speaking to Job. When God spoke to Job, now Job is talking back to God. Because he was listening to God. Listen, O Job. Listen, listen to God's word. Quieten your, you have come here. You could have been worrying about your problems outside. You may be, the problems that you are having right now, at this time, you might be talking to someone, trying to search Google as to what the solution for the problems is, how to be able to know. You have come to the place where people are here worshiping God, remembering the wondrous works of God. They're responding by opening their mouth and declaring the wondrous things of God. Such is the place, because we had to stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Now in verse 42, Job answered. Job answered so much that he was able to recognize certain things in his life as well. He says, verse 4, "Hear, now I will speak. I will ask you and you instruct me. Verse 5, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees you." I have heard, but now my eyes sees you. Meaning, in other words, my spiritual eyes. He has opened my spiritual eyes. Verse 6, "Therefore, I abhor or retract and I repent in dust and ashes." When you think of the wondrous works of God, if God is reminding us that there are certain things that we need to set right ourselves, if there are things that we need to set right ourselves, let us take the time to repent. The Bible says if you repent and return, you will experience the refreshing times within the presence of the Lord. In the book of Acts, it says that. Please read in verse 6, any other language. Verse 6, 42, 6. Paschattapa paduchunnanu, I am repenting. Repent. Repent for the things that we have committed. Maybe the words that we are not supposed to speak. The actions that we were not supposed to do. God is reminding us. Don't look at the problem. Look at God. Look at the wondrous works of God. Remember the wondrous works of God. Respond to that, worshipping the Lord for his wondrous works. And the time has come for us to examine ourselves, to repent of the things that we have committed. And as he repented, you know what has happened? As he repented, in verse 7 onwards, verse 10, let us look at verse 10. The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that the Job had twofold, double fold. Why? Because he repented in verse 6. He repented. God told his friends also to repent for their way of talking. So the friends came to Job. They reconciled with Job. And Job prayed for them. And finally, they were able to see God restoring the lost things. God is ready to restore things that you have lost, my dear. But for that, we need to remember. We need to respond. We need to repent. And God will restore things. the things that are essential in our lives. Finally, the blank lines, you can fill it again, but this time, I'm just telling you, maybe you should write your own name. Listen to this, oh, put your name. My name, I'll put Benjamin. If you want your name, you put your name. Listen to this, oh, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. God is speaking to you, not only to Job, in the book of Job chapter 37 and verse 14, but God is speaking to you. Put your name and say, Lord, you're speaking to me. Listen to this. Consider the wondrous works of God. Remember the wondrous works of God. Respond to the wondrous works of God and repent for what you have done. And God will restore the things double fold as per the word of God, not my words. You can see that in your own life here, or for that matter, the eternal life that is ahead of us. May the Lord bless this word. Let's close our eyes and reflect upon what we have learned today. My dear brother and sister, don't go here and there. Just sit where you are and consider the wondrous works of God. Consider the wondrous works of God. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, why did he die? Consider the cross. He endured the shame and suffering for your sake and my sake. Is that suffering that Christ died for you for no reason that he had committed anything wrong? He went through suffering in his life. God wants to remind us. He wants us to remember as we take part in the table that is set before us, the communion. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember the wondrous cross. Remember Christ's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for the remission of our sins. We are going to take part in the communion that is set before us. Let us take part with a genuine heart, with a repentant heart. If there is anyone sitting here who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please, I plead you in the name of Jesus Christ to consider the wondrous work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for your sake. He has died for you, my dear. Maybe you are focusing on your problem so much that you are forgetting the focus and attention on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Remember Christ. Come to him. Accept him as your personal Savior and Lord. And for those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ, maybe it's another reminder for us to be able to focus our attention on the wondrous works of God. Maybe we are focusing more on the problems. Maybe we are coming in the later part of this worship service, unable to focus on worshiping God. Maybe we are lacking that worship that we are supposed to be part of. When was the last time you opened your mouth and worshiped the Lord? When was the last time you considered the wondrous works of God? My dear, maybe we need to examine ourselves and correct ourselves. We dedicate 1 hour, the first hour of this time of worship service, for worship, to consider the wondrous works of God. And we don't want to do that. Why not? That is the only thing that we do forever in eternity, worshiping. If that is boring for us, we are not ready for heaven, remember. Let us set right ourselves, repent for not being able to focus on the wondrous works of God. Lord, help me, Lord. Help me. I have been missing out on the first hour of worship. Help me to be part of it. In my own personal time, when I wake up in the morning, am I worshiping you, Lord? Or am I praying, asking God for giving me this, give me prayers? Or am I worshiping God for who he is, what he has done? When our focus, our attention is on God, he will take care of the problems that we have. If our focus is on the problem, where is God in the picture? Christ Jesus has died for us on the cross. Never forget. Never lose focus on the cross. Say, draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Nanno chechu, 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 rakshaka, nivu gayapadu, silvakun. Yes, we should worship God. We should pray unto God, repent, and take part in the table that is set before us. Let us examine ourselves. If the Lord is prompting us to confess, to repent for the things that we have committed, just like Job, though he was considered a blameless, a man of integrity, yet because of the words that he had used probably with his friends and all, he had to repent. He had to repent in order to be able to see God restoring the things that he had lost. May the Lord restore those things that we have lost when we come to him with a repentant heart. Let's take part in the table.